Welcome back to Dot in the Eye. I'm Ivy Donovan, and we're continuing our interview with author Amy Lively and her book, How to Love Your Neighbor Without Being Weird. And Amy, you were talking about that first time you went around your neighborhood, you stuffed mailboxes, inviting people to your home just for an open house, just for coffee, and what a great way to get started. But yet you said you were forthright and open about how you wanted to start a Bible study and would just, of course, accept anyone. Did that turn them off, or did you get a good mix of people?
Had a great mix of people coming to the Bible study. Of course, more people can come for coffee than can or want to make a commitment to the Bible study. And as we do Bible studies, we keep them, you know, anywhere from 6 to 10, 12 weeks. And so my neighbors kind of come and go. They'll do one and maybe not the next. We take off the summer months. We take off the month of December to accommodate women's, you know, busy schedules. They will bring a friend, then the friend will bring a friend. And now I have women from all over. I don't even know where they live or where they come from. But just the point is that it's in my home. It's comfortable. It's open. It's welcoming. You can bring your questions, your doubts, your fears, your joys. We have women from different churches worshiping together and learning together. We have women who don't go to church at all and who don't want to, who are learning the truth about Jesus Christ in a very easy and a setting that's not intimidating to them. You know, it was once my greatest fear, and now it's my greatest joy.
And Amy, I love how you write that God really gave you a heart for your neighbors, broke your heart really so that you would just feel this compassion for them. And so many of us need to do that, because don't you find that in today's world, like you said, with everything inside, either we don't know our neighbors, maybe we don't care about our neighbors, and we don't think as though that's our mission field, but God changed your heart.
Yeah, he did. You know, we're inside, we're watching TV, and we see the commercials with the starving children and the, you know, the abandoned puppies and the Hallmark commercials even. Those kinds of things are what move us towards compassion. And we need to have compassion for the suffering around the world. This is really, I call it a both-and proposition. We should love both the people around the world and the people right next door. When Jesus saw people who were hurting, he was always moved with compassion. He didn't just sit and send a check. He went and sat down at their table. And this happened when Jesus was tired, when he was hungry, when he was just weary, when he needed to get off by himself, when he was grieving, when he was busy. But he always took the time. He said, I have compassion upon these people. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And that's my prayer, that we as believers, as the body of Christ, have our eyes opened and our hearts changed towards these people, because the stories that are happening in the homes that we just drive by, in the course of our time in our home, maybe thousands of times, we drive by a home wondering, you know, why is the grass overgrown? Why didn't they fix that garage door? You know, why don't they take care of their house? Not knowing that there's a cancer diagnosis there, not knowing that there's a widow there, not knowing that there's a single mom doing all she can to just keep her life together. We just drive on by and we criticize and judge and we make assumptions without taking the time to become involved in their lives and be the solution.
And Amy, so many of us have excuses, don't we? I can't because of this or that. I certainly don't have time. I work full time. I can't do that. Lots of excuses, right?
Oh, yeah, and I have had every excuse in the book. I doubt anybody could throw an excuse out there that I haven't had myself. And see, what I love about our excuses is that they're all completely legitimate. Like everybody's busy. We take pride in being busy. We brag about how busy we are. We really are going to have to get out the red pen and mark some things off of our calendar to create some margin in our lives to be able to interact with people. It's going to take a sacrifice. It really is. And sacrifice is painful. What other excuse would you like to blow out of the water today? Because you know, I'm not spiritual enough. Like, I don't know the whole Bible, and I don't have the answer to life's hard questions, and I don't know if there are dinosaurs in the Bible and why children suffer. And, you know, we don't have to have all the answers. People just want somebody who cares about them and their life. And if they have these hard questions, it's really kind of an honor to be entrusted with them. And people will understand if you say, you know what? Can we talk about this tomorrow? Because I'd like to ask some people smarter than me.
And I love how you write, the very first time you were going to speak on the Holy Spirit and thought, wait a minute, what am I doing? Why would I be doing that? And trying to get it all together and study. But you said it turned out to be one of the best Bible studies you had because people were just sharing.
It did. And, you know, when we are completely aware of our inadequacies is when we rely on the Lord. And if we felt like we had it all together and we could do this with one hand tied behind our back, we would fall flat on our face. But when you say, gosh, I have no idea how in the world I'm going to do this, and you just let the Lord come in and you let His strength come through you, you will never be closer to Him than when you are walking in obedience to His commands. And He just delights in that. He loves to show up, and then He shows off, and He does something incredible just because we obey.
Amy, I love the title of your book, How to Love Your Neighbor Without Being Weird. And you tell us in a chapter, don't be weird. What do you mean, and how can we avoid being weird, which is difficult for me?
Well, I think we just have to be the right kind of weird, just the right kind of weird to people. I think it's weird to be to go after our neighbors with an agenda.
Yeah.
To have a plan, to have a process that we're going to walk them through, to be herding them like cattle, to try to convert them, to randomly invite them to different events that we have no idea, you know, if it appeals to their needs or if it addresses something that they're passionate about in their lives. I mean, I think we do this with the greatest of intentions because I think we think that this all will lead to Jesus Christ and to eternity. That is part and parcel of who we are as Christians, that we want everyone to know how fantastic Jesus is. But when we go to meet our neighbors, if our first priority is finding out who they are, what turns them on, what makes them happy, what keeps them up at night, what are their dreams and hopes and fears, and what's their history, and what do they want for the future, and what's happening in their homes and in their jobs, when we just show our true compassion and care for them as people, then the Jesus part is going to overflow out of everything that we do. It will come through attraction and not promotion. I think it's weird I think agenda is the most important word, if we go after them with an agenda, anything other than just loving them.
And I love how you really do have do's and don'ts in this book. You take us right through it so we don't have to feel weird or come off as being weird. So it's great that you will say right down to, you know, what we're going to prepare. Like you just said, how do we get to know these neighbors and about them so that we're offering proper food, dressing properly? You'd think you wouldn't have to think about these things, but if you want a variety of different people, then these things become important.
Yeah, if you're going to talk to somebody from a different faith, from a different country, from a very different culture than you, then you want to do that with the utmost respect and kindness towards them, because you want them to have respect and kindness towards your faith. So come inquisitively, come curiously, not accusatory. Come just to ask questions about how they worship, what's important about worship to them, what about their faith brings them comfort and joy. And then you'll find some common points where you can say, oh, yeah, my faith does that. Little different. Maybe they'll let you tell them how this time or the next time we have this conversation. But we've climbed up on this religious mountain, and we've built our big churches and our mega churches, and we say, you must come here and think like I think and act like I act and dress like I dress. And maybe your tattoos and your divorces and your rowdy kids aren't welcome here. When you get yourself straight, you know, you can climb mountain and be up here with me. Or instead, we need to come off of our mountain. We need to set the other mountains in our communities that shape our culture and having influence there and making relationships there. That is the place where we can share then our personal faith in the person of Jesus Christ.
And Amy, you said you found out what works, the best structure that works, time frame, how long it is, whether they're singing. And what have you found that you won't do again, maybe mistakes or what people don't like? What have you learned after doing this now for a good amount of time?
As I just go out and meet people, I've learned just to be really flexible. I've learned to kind of like not let any shock cross my face. Because you want people to speak in their natural language. You know, you want people to, you're going to probably hear some things you wouldn't hear at church, and you probably should. You know, we need to know what the real world is like. We need to just go with the idea that we are going to be Christ at the table in their house. Sometimes I rush things too quickly, and because I have been doing this for a long time, and I've got the routine set up of the neighborhood cafe that I do in my home, I just say, you know, here's your invitation, come, let's go. Instead of taking that time to make the relationships. I look at Paul and how much time he spent as he traveled through the book of Acts, and you read of Paul's missionary journeys. You know, sometimes he was in a community for years, working in the trade and talking to the government leaders and in the synagogue as well, but in people's homes, just moving through different areas of community and making relationships with people. It can take a long, long time.
And for those listening who say, I have the desire, I'm a little afraid, but I want to get started, is that our first step? Maybe just going out and as far as our neighborhood goes, putting things in a mailbox, picking a day, and just doing it?
Well, that is certainly one way that you can do it. And if that works for your personality and your neighborhood and your home and your family, then I can help you do that. For the vast majority of people, though, well, for every person, first, it's going to start with prayer. It's always going to start with prayer. I have a great tip I learned from another woman in neighborhood ministry. She set an alarm for 10:02, which is Luke 10:2, Lord, send workers into the harvest field. Set that alarm and just pray every day for your neighbor, asking the Lord to give you direction. But the key is to find something that works for your personality and for the unique needs of your neighborhood. If you are an introvert or you only have evenings, it's going to look very different for you. But there, I know God has commanded each of us to love our neighbors, and that means he has equipped each of us in our own unique and beautiful way to relate to people who are around us.
We've been talking with Amy Lively in her book, How to Love Your Neighbor Without Being Weird. You can find out more at dotintheeye.com or certainly go to her website, howtoloveyourneighbor.com. Thanks so much for joining me, Amy.
Oh, thanks, Ivy. It was a pleasure.